Mishnah presented a din of a shomer. Mishnah presented two types of iser yichud and two sorts of matirim for yichud. One is introducing the right shomer, introducing the right person to diffuse the situation and make it a permitted situation. And the other is that sometimes there could be pairs of people, a man and a woman, who without any other shomer, because of their relation with one another, have no isur yichud. Parents and children, and we'll moving forward, we'll expand on that also. There are some other situations in addition to parents and children. But for now, let's turn our attention back to where we had left off. The Gemara, going from the bottom of payment base to the top of payoff of an aleph, began to dig into the details of who is a valid shomer. The Gemara began the bottom of payment base. We'd seen this last time. This is around where we ended off last time. Gemara said two limitations on the din of shomer that Rabbi Yehuda quotes the name of his Rebbe Rav. Mishnah said two men with one woman is fine, which means adding one man. Reuven and Yocheved is an Isser of Yichud. If you add Shimon, but now Shimon will serve as a valid Shomer. Reuven, Shimon, Yocheved is Mutter, means Shimon is a Shomer for Reuven and Yocheved, and Reuven is a Shomer for Shimon and Yocheved. All is well. But if you just say the name of Rav, well, actually, the first thing you need to know is that it only works if Shimon is a Kasher. The Shofar Shomer is not enough to Shomer as a male, it's to be a Kasher male, an Ish Kasher. If a whole host of Anashim Prutzim in the room, it's not going to make him mutter. You walk into the frat house, and one has more parts than the next, and many men there, one woman walks into a frat house, that is absolutely an Isser Yichudus. Not wise anyhow, for a wide variety of reasons, and it's also, from a point of view of technical halacha, it is a violation of Yichud, because it's one woman with a bunch of Prutzim. Then, turning to pay off from an aleph, at the very top, Rav is quoted by Rabbi Yehuda as giving a second limitation on the din of Shomer, that not only does it have to mean Ish Kasher, but sometimes you require, it's not always true that adding one Ish Kasher is enough. There are certain circumstances where we require that you add two Anashim Kshim. And what was that? What was that case? Basada, right? Basada, Baderech, you're outside, you're hiking, you're on the road in between cities, let's say. So a situation where one person might have to leave for an extended period of time because they have no nearby bathroom. You're using a natural bathroom off trail. So person, especially if it's a mixed hiking group, so you're going to want to give yourself some privacy. So it's going to be a couple minutes down and a couple minutes back. If you have two men and a woman, so if one of them has to leave, so then you're left with an Isser Yichud. So that's why, Baderech, we require three. Before we dig into the details of this din, and it has relevance beyond how often you necessarily Baderech, in the way that the Gemara is imagining, first let's see this story. Gemara is a story which is going to be richly relevant to Lamasa. Pei Aleph, Amin Aleph. Pay off from an off, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the top. 7 lines from the top of pay off from an off. In the middle of the line, Rav v'Rav Yehuda. Rav v'Rav Yehuda avoka azli b'urcha. Rav and Yehuda were traveling on the road. They were walking somewhere, they were hiking somewhere. Remember that they are the two people that we just quoted. It was Rav Yehuda, these two dinim about Shnei Anashim were quoted by Rav Yehuda, the name of Rav. Now, though they are now the Balei Maaser, Yehuda and Rav are actually leave the base Meirish and they're hiking somewhere. They're moving quickly, and they see after a while they see up ahead that there's a woman in front of them, further ahead on the trail. So Rav says to Yehuda, "Gevalt." I'm like Rav of Yehuda, "Dal karach mikami gehenim." Literally, lift your leg from Gehenim. As we better lift your leg means let's move. We got to put the pedal to the metal. We better walk quickly to get away from Gehenim, to get away from a violation. Right now we're in violation of Yichud, so we better we can't just disappear. We better walk quickly as we can, so we can get ahead of this the woman who's up ahead. we'll pass her. We'll go further, 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 and then we'll have avoided The Isra Yichud, yeah.
But if they're far enough behind, they're two different parties, does it really matter?
Oh, good, good. Good. So good. Let's keep our eyes open. There are at least two or three dinim that we're going to learn from this story. So let's keep our eyes open. You're making an important point. Distance is a good question. Rav Yehuda says, now, Rav just told Rav Yehuda, Gevalt, we have an Isser Yichud. Right? Does that, based on what we know, does Rav surprise you? Does not Rav not surprise you? Why does he surprise you?
It's two men and a woman.
Two men and a woman? On the other hand, they're Badarach. Okay. So watch what happens. Rav Yehuda turns to Rav and says, Rebbe, V'hamar hu da'amar, how could you tell me it's an Isser Yichud? Aren't you the one who told me? You expect to hear. What do you expect to hear? I mean, he did tell him that Baderach in Yitri. Aren't you the one who told me that B'ksherim shaper dami? That two anashim ksherim is fine. You said the Mishnah means you have to ksherim. And you and I are kosher. So you'd expect Rav to say, yes, we're kosher, but it's Baderach, so we need three. Instead, Rav is a double surprise. What Rav doesn't say, he didn't mention Baderach. And what he does mention is even more surprising. He says, Amarle, mi yemin de ksherim ganovat. Oh, you think kosher means like you and I? We're not kosher. We're a bunch of prutzim, Rav says to Talmud Rav Yehuda. Or at least we're not kosher enough. Like a gold mine. So who's kosher? Rav, you're one of the Gedolei Hadar. If you're not kosher, who exactly is kosher? Like Rechaniah bar Papi v'chaverot. You know who's kosher? Oh, like Rechaniah bar Papi. Who's Rechaniah bar Papi? So they tell you on the side. They tell you to look earlier. Lama Tesna Beis, the end of the first parak of Kiddushin. I think Kiddushin. The first parak of Kiddushin might be the longest parak of Shas. It goes, no, it's a percentage of the Masechta, it's half the Masechta. It goes, the second parak starts in Daf Mem Aleph, and the Masechta, you see, ends, Pei Beis. So it's almost exactly half the Masechta, and it's 40 blots, a law, 39 blot. A long, long, long parak. A lot going on in the first parak. To the very end, the Gemara tells a story about Tanaim, who risk their lives to avoid falling into a situation of Znos. Where the one story where they were put on the spot by politically powerful women. So one of them, in proposition, the woman wanted to be Mizana with him. So one of them runs to the roof and it sounds like he's ready to jump. And the other one starts to, Gorin tells a very, very vivid story that this woman. This sounds like a politically powerful Roman woman, politically well placed. She says that she's very upfront. She's very frank, and she makes it clear that she wants to be Mizana with this tzaddik. So he's not really sure what his options are. They're like, not sure how I can get out of this. So he says, okay, but I'm just not feeling well. Like, I need some lunch first. She says, okay, make your lunch, no problem. So she and apparently getting out the door was, I guess, security. Getting out the door wasn't an option. So she turns on the oven, fires up the oven to make some lunch. And when her back is turned, he starts to climb in. She's like, "Whoa, what's going on?" He says, "I have a religious standard." She's like, "I didn't realize. Like, by all means, you could leave. Like, I didn't. I thought you were okay with this." Okay. So pretty shocking stories. We show them debates. We show them Ramban and others in Sahara and so on. Like, is that Yarg Vayavar? Is that not Yarg Vayavar? It's like a step beyond Yarg Vayavar. That's not just passively refusing to do the Avera. That's actively seeking to get out. That's a big question. But either way, you should hopefully never have the need to try that at home. But either way, you see, these are people not just that they didn't violate Averis. They were mamish moser nefesh, ready to be mamish moser nefesh to avoid. They were tested. One of them was literally tested by fire, right, in terms of self control in the face of taiva. So Rav says, Rehuda, you and I, we might never have violated us, maybe never violated Averis related to us, but we're not ksherim. Ksherim means people mamish, like talking about papi, people are moser nefesh in this area. Those are people who qualify as shnei anashim ksherim. And that is the end of the story That's the way the story ends here. Now, so we're left with a couple of questions. Left with a couple of hours. Three. Number one is, it's interesting, what Meir pointed out, that this is assumed to be a yichud situation. The first thing you see from the Gemara, before you even get to the whole back and forth, is that yichud doesn't require walls. They were out in the forest, or whatever, on the road. I don't know if it was like a trail, or it was like a wider road, whatever it was. They were outside. They weren't inside a building, like they were alone in a room with her. But what you see from this Gemara is that you can have yichud outdoors also. If you're in a secluded area where there isn't anyone else, something you got to keep in mind when you're dating. It's because you're outside doesn't mean there's no yichud. You have to make sure that you're in a dating before marriage. You should date your wife for many, many decades, and they have no history of yichud. But when you're dating a girl you have not yet married, so you got to be careful about yichud. As we'll see, there may be even greater concern of yichud on a date, and it will get later in payoff and all. So you got to be careful, even if you're outdoors, to be in a place where people are passing by at least from time to time. We'll get to more details as we get to Din Pesach Pasuach in terms of what would be considered sufficient enough traffic that's not necessarily yichud. But you see, yichud doesn't have to necessarily be an indoors situation. Dov Tuchman. In a car with tinted windows, no one can see in.
But they have to stand there and like peer in.
And when you're moving, it's so hard for people to peer in.
Yeah, when you're moving, it's not hard to do anything other than drive.
That's true.
I'm saying even if you're parked, someone would have to stop and like come up to the window and really like try and look
at it. So let's hold off for now in details. When we get to the dinner pass puzzle, we'll have to dig into this some more. But you're raising a good question. The tinted windows might potentially make it problematic. Yeah.
So the Rambam says that the cases that he brought up were not cases of Yarog Al Yahoo, right? It might not have been, you said the Rambam.
Okay.
Therefore, it didn't seem like...
The Rambam talks about that in Muhammad. The Rambam talks about this also, but the Rambam and Muhammad is the one who...
So it doesn't seem like he was concerned with what the actual halachas were. He's trying to be more strict than...
No. There,
it might have been that there was no Yisra'el, but he was so concerned.
Well,
by the very fact that he quoted stories where there was no Yarog Al Yahoo, right?
Yeah.
And he was like showing these people to be exemplary. So he's saying, even though there's no Yarog Al Yahoo, they still did something good. So there might not be an Yisra'el Yichud here. We should still try to get out.
Ooh, that's very, very profound. Hold on to that thought for just a moment. So two other points, that we're going to come right back to what Akiva was saying. So again, the first thing you see from this Gemara is that you could have an Isra Yichud outside also, if it's secluded enough. Number two, thank you very much for turning to see.
Even though they were behind it?
Well, they were getting closer. Yeah, well, because there's no one around for... Right. Because there's no one else around. There may be no one else around for miles. Number two is what Rav didn't say, and number three is what Rav did say. Right? Actually, since Akiva raised it, let's say number two is what Rav did say. Rav said, "We're not sharing. We're not sharing." So the question is, really? Mamish? So it means the nose just. The whole din is almost never. The whole din of the Mishnah is almost never relevant. If you look in the star of the Gemara, in the little letters, the Tosus Rihazakin. Tosus Rihazakin is like Tosus Rosh, Tosus Beperes. Another alternative set of Tosusin. So if you look down the side near the top of the Tosus Rihazakin in the left hand column, the left hand margin, around 8 lines down, the last word in the line is Dal, over here. Dal Karaf Mikame Gehenim. Dal Karaf Rashi says, Maher Lalecha Shenak Dimen. Let's move quickly to get ahead of her. Which is what Rashi says. And then he goes on to say, Umistabra, says the Tosfos Rihazakin, the Fnei Mishuras HaDin Avad. Most likely, this was not halachically required. This was a chumra. Rav had a chumra. Sheratzel Hitzrachek Min HaKiyur. He wanted to stay away from something that seemed a little sketchy, but was technically not aser. L'chol Shnein Hashem K'sheir Mutar. He says, this is not Mikra Din. This was a Rav's chumra. The Gaonim actually have a work called the Esther Milid de Chasidus of the Rav, the 10 Midas Chassidus of Rav. Rav was an unusual machmer. Rav was an unusual chassid. A chassid and a parish. I think, I forget who points out, that Rav, I mean, the Gemara says, I think most of those Esther Milid Chassidus, the Gaon collected from different Gemaras. Gemara says that Rav was very careful. He's the one who, I believe he's the one who said, "La'ol yishan adam le'tamid of derech katzara." That Rebbe should always try to teach tamidim in a concise way. So I forget who it is who points out that Rav is the only Amora about whom the Gemara will ask, certainly with any regularity, "Ba'amra Rav chadazimna." Why did Rav say this? Didn't he say it once before? And I'll say, "Oh no, the reason I say it now is because it's an additional chiddush." I told my Tamidim that once already. Why would I say it again? Wow. Guess he didn't say Chazar Shir. Or when he said Chazar Shir, he was most of something. So he was Rav was an unusual machmer. He was particularly machmer. Machmer Latzmo, not machmer everyone else. Machmer Latzmo. So the Riazaka says, here's another chumra of Rav. That Rav treated himself, ironically, despite that he was such a, the fact that he was such an unusual tzaddik, he was machmer to treat himself like not a tzaddik. He was machmer to treat himself like as though he's a paras. As though he's a paras. But that itself is a chumra of Rav's. That's not me'ikar adin. Me'ikar adin, kasher means kasher. Person who keeps the dinim. Even though he's never been tested by fire. But he's on the up and up. He keeps the dinim. So then he is an ish kasher. That's what Riaz Zakin says. Riaz Zakin happens to be the one Rishon on the page who says it. But the other Rishon will say it. Also, the Ritva and others. Many, a number of Rishonim say, yeah, that was a chumrah of Rav's. However, we'll take questions soon. But first I want you to look in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, in Sif Hey, is quoting the Rambam. So as a matter of fact, you want to look in Rambam, or you could just look in Shulchan Aruch, Sif Hey. And he says the following. Lo tisyached isha achas, afilu iman hashem harbe. One woman with a number of men is an iser of yichud. Ad shetiyah isha shel echad mehem sham, unless you have a husband and wife pair. But just a group of men and an unrelated woman, that is an iser of yichud. V'chein lo yisached isha echad afil im nashim harbe. So too, you can't have one man, group of women. Anything trouble you about? Show me jumping out of your seats. Why? Yeah, he gets the Mishnah. Who, what, when, where? What are we talking about? Right! And this Shulchan Aruch is like flat, he's pointing the Rambam, flat against the Mishnah. So what's going on? So the answer is, and look at the Ramah. The Ramah says, no, Yeshomim, well, others say, meaning that's how I paskin, the Isha Acha, the last line of the Ramah on the page, right after Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch is, in this, again, the Shulchan Aruch is the block letters in the center column in the Gemara position, and the Ksav Rashi letters in that section are the Rama. The Rama, who lived at the same time as Shulchan Aruch, roughly, Yosef Karo lived in Sparad, maybe gave his life, I don't remember, and in his he's famous for living part of his life in Svat. The Rama, meanwhile, was living in Krakow, in Poland. The Rama writes, "Well, Yesha Omrim, the Isha Achaz, Misechaz, Mishne, Anashim, Ksherim, Imu Ba'ir." Right? Okay. And it goes on to the next page. Your standard person is kosher. In other words, Shulchan Aruch is going to the Rambam, who says what? Rambam appears to have read our Gemara straightforwardly, at face value. Rav said that kosher. Rav is the one who told us the Mishnah means kosher. And then Rav went on to say, by the way, when I say kosher, I mean super kosher. I mean, as in this din almost never comes up. So much so, the Rambam just left it out. Because Rav was essentially saying, this din, the Mishnah, it's one in a million. 99.99999% of the time, there's no such thing as Shnei Anashim Ksherim. So the whole din of Mishnah is practically not relevant. That's the way the Mechaber, Paskins, quoting, I'm sorry?
That's a question.
Oh, because he said that what he's saying here, essentially, is that he accepts the simple reading of the story. Rav said, Sheriff only means unusual tzaddikim or moser nefesh, not even level of Rav or Yehuda. In other words, stam anashim fruits, according to Rav. If you accept that Rav's statement of the story as being normative halacha l'maisa and not a personal chumra of Rav's, that means stam anashim fruits. So, Rav and Shabbat Aruch are just presenting, assuming that everyone's a parent, so you don't have the din of shnei anashim of the Mishnah. So one man with many women is no good, and one woman with many men is no good, because stamina shabruts him. Ramah says, no, I pass on like the Ran and the Ritva and the Riazak and all the other Rov Rishonim, that stam anashim are sheirim. Stam anashim are sheirim. If you take a look, at the Beir Agra on the second page of the Shulchan Aruch, you see on the top line of the Ramah, Stam Anashim K'sherim Heim, see that Yud Aleph with the parentheses. That sends you to the Beir Agra. So Beir Agra says, "Stam Anashim K'sherim Kain Kafes Kain Hu Kain Hu Pashut Matzis Gemara." That is a simple reading of the Mishnah Gemara. But after the Mishnah presents this as that's the din that Shnei Anashim is Isha Achas is Mutter. Midika Amar Avol Beprutzim. The Gemara said, "Beprutzim not Mashma Dafka Prutzim." Sounds like, I don't know if you're really a parrot. But the norm is Kasha. It comes to Gemara and Brachas. Talks about prutzim, it sounds like it's something unusual. And then, skipping now a couple lines in the Vilna Gaon, the last three, four lines, V'rav dika amar, v'gon v'chinim bar papi v'chavev, and Rav said, oh, kasher means like chinim papi v'chavev, v'nidos chasidusu, that was his chumra, dika amar. He was saying as a chumra, he not sell me here.
He thought it's worth it. With the Vilna Gaon and the Riazak are both trying to explain, by the way, you can't have chumras that just because. That's actually a very important side point that emerges from here. Because they didn't say, oh, it says Miz Chasidus done. They said Miz Chasidus because of X, Y, and Z. Just to be machmir for no good reason is not Judaism. But there could be a meaningful chumra, a meaningful Miz Chasidus, a person's on the Madrega to have Miz Chasidus, Ravster was on the Madrega. A meaningful Miz Chasidus means I'm going to do more. To further actualize the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goals as they're expressed in the Halacha. So to take those values and do more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires to further those values, that would be a meaningful Midas Chasidus. So that's why the Riazake and the Vilna Gaon felt the need to add that extra line. And what's the point? The point is, the Riazake said, to avoid kiur, which is the idea that we'll see, I believe, later on also. A Dabar Mechur is something that's ugly, not physically ugly, but morally ugly. It's a inappropriate situation. Technically not a violation of Yichud, but it doesn't smell right. But that's meaningful. That's appropriate. You always have to think when you're in a situation, A, is it technically a violation of Yichud? If it's technically a violation of Yichud, then that's our sir. We have to fix the problem. Even if technically it's not, technically I have the right number of people, the right places, but it's just... It doesn't smell right. It's a little awkward. It's a little, and it feels inappropriate. So that's also, that itself is independent cause, independently sufficient cause to figure out how we're going to change up the situation to avoid both the technical problem of Yichud as well as to avoid a more subjectively defined mechur hadavar. So that's the way the Riazakin is reading. And the Vilna Gaon gives a slightly different twist. That Rav was being machmir because he thought it would help him avoid hirurim. Rav is a big tzaddik, he also dealt with Hirurim. So he felt like this would get in the way of good management of Hirurim. So he said, let's get out of the situation. But again, the Rei Zaki and the Gra, and then the other one, Rishon, who are being called here, the Ra and the Rush, the Tur, the Ritzva, they're all saying, that story is a Midas Chasidus, that story is not normative. That line, Rav says, yeah, I'm worried about we're not sharing. That was a chumra of Rav, but that is not relevant. Me'ikir ha-din. But the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch disagree. Rambam and Shulchan Aruch hold that mamash, that's not Menashe Prutzim. And the whole din of Shnei Anashim is not relevant. B'zman Azar. Yeah, there are a lot of questions. No one's been waiting very patiently for a very long time.
According to this, even if Rav wasn't acting in accordance with himself anyway, even if it wasn't just
lifting
material
that
is, it was
Badera,
so we could
have
had three, even if you
have got. We'll get to that soon. That's the third point. The first point was, you see that Yichud, there could be, you have an outdoor Yichud situation, and you could violate Yichud outdoors. Number two is to figure out whether Shnitzav Nashim Kshem or Putzim, right? That's the thing about what Rav did say. And the third point, which we'll get to soon, that's going to take a few questions, but I'm glad you're on top of it, is the thing about what Rav did not say. What? And especially if this is all a chumrah, it makes it even more troubling. What if they start giving chumrah? Say it's asr because of baderach. But the fact that he didn't say baderach is very, very striking. Yeah. No. He means be'ir as opposed to baderach. We'll get to Badarach. I'd stopped because we'll get to Badarach soon. Baal Beir is coming up later. It's a different issue.
Why?
No, Isha Achas, Misachez, and Shnei Anashim, and Hu Beir. Because you may not be a married woman. One woman can have Yichud to be alone with two men who are kosher if the situation is happening in Beir. The situation is happening in Badarach. Sorry? Hu means shouldn't be Hu, it should be Beir. That's a good point. He Beir, Him Beir, that's a good point. That is a good point. Yes. Oh. It's not a reference about the year, but that is I appreciate your grammatical sensitivity. That is a good point. It'd be worth taking a look in the tour in Dark Emotion, seeing if they have it as a hame as opposed to who. Good point. Yeah, Izzy.
According to the Rambam and Shofar, why would the
It's a big kasha. That's exactly the Vilna Gaon. You just hit the nail on the head. That's exactly the first point the Vilna Gaon makes. Vilna Gaon is very, very concise. He's not one to elaborate on his kasha. He said in one phrase, but he's saying exactly what you said. You just unpacked Vilna Gaon. He said, Pasha the Mishnah Gemara. That's what he's talking about, Pasha the Mishnah. He explains what he means, Pasha the Gemara, because Aval the Prutzim sounds like Prutzim is a rarity, not the standard situation. And Pasha the Mishnah is what I think what you're saying. That's all. This is one in a million, and that's what the Mishnah presents without any hesitations whatsoever. It sounds hard, possible, but not the most likely approach. Yeah. Tenable, but not plausible. Yeah.
How is it possible for any man, any woman, whoever, be in the same vicinity
as each other? That's a great question. Number one is Ishto Imo. Right, the Ramaray told us, well, if you have a husband and wife, they're together, and that's based on our Mishnah. The other din appears in our Mishnah, but that's not...
How can people get married if they can't be in the same room?
That sounds like a problem. It sounds like a problem. So the answer is, the other solution is if you turn to, a very, very sharp question, if you turn to Sivav, the first line and a half of Sivav, Nashim... Also a quote from the Rambam, Nashim harbe im anashim harbe ein choshim yichud. If you have many men and many women, as the first, the sifhei would say, if you have one man and many women, or one woman and many men, that's the problem. But if you have many and many, then that's a machlokas on the page, whether many and many is two and two or three and three. I think that's what we usually assume, and that's relevant to us also. Let's take a look at the Beis Shmuel. Take a look at the Beis Shmuel. I'm not sure I pass him. The Mechalik says two. I'm sorry. I take it back. Both the Chalik Mechokik and the Beis Shmuel. Chalik Mechokik is in the Rashi position. Beis Shmuel is in the Tosfos position. I believe both of them say it needs to be three. Lo Mikri, the last line is Sukkot and Zayin Chalik Mechokik. Lo Mikri Rav and Parchas Mishlosha Noshim, Mishlosha Anoshim. And then the Beis Shmuel also says, the third white line. Harbe is Hainu Gimel Nashim. Now that's relevant. I'm curious to know how Sephardi Poskim and how Baladi Poskim rule on this issue. Because Machaber is very, very, seems very confident in quoting the Rambam with no hesitations. I don't know that Sephardi Poskim actually follows Machaber and Rambam. It is quite a limitation. But even for us, it's relevant even for those who do not pause like Mechaber. which is Ashkenazim, and I suspect many Temanim as well. Even if you assume that, like the Rov Rishonim, Rov of both Sephardi and Ashkenaz Rishonim, that's Taman Ashim Kshayrim, but still, in a situation you do have Prutzim, so Harbe Veharbe is Mutter. And Harbe Veharbe seems to be three and three. Yeah, because again, for the Rama, everyone's a Paras. So even with Prutzim, presumably that's it. We'll get back to it. That's just not Yichud. That's Rosh Hashanah. You're just in a crowd. Again, sometimes you might find yourself in a crowd and it's an inappropriate crowd. It may be Dover Mechur. A Jew finds himself in Times Square at 2 o'clock in the morning. A Jew finds himself in the middle of a Bacchanalian party. So it's not Yichud. There are 50 guys and 50 girls. It's not Yichud, but it's clearly Mechur HaDover. Definitely a highly inappropriate place to be, and you should, however you got there in the first place, you should... Now that you woke up and saw what's going on around you, you skedaddle. But Yichud is not. So you may sometimes you may be in a situation with many men and women, and they're all Prutzim, but it's not an inappropriate situation. Depends on the context. The Mechur HaDavar is much more situationally defined. Let's take one or two more questions, and then I want to come back to the third point today. Yeah.
When
I said that, I meant this. But that's not true. When he said that you meant what Sharon and Prutzim mean, just the result does differ. You're saying, if it's a Chumrah, why is it here? And if it's a Chumrah, he's not speaking accurately. He said, I meant this. Not that you meant this. Right. That's a good point. That's a good point. Let's take your second point first. How could Rav lie? Rav is lying. According to the Rambam, the Mishnah is very shver. The first piece of Gemara is very shver. I said, yeah, but according to the Riyaz Zaki, Rav is lying. Rav is lying. He said, when I said kosher, I meant mechana papri. No, you didn't. You meant regular kosher. It's your b'machmo. So why did you say something untrue? Most likely, I would imagine it was the Gemara says in Bava Metzia that sometimes in Eilam Metzias, Gimel Chaf Dalet, that a Jew is permitted to lie at times for the sake of other midos. Now, sometimes some other midah, emes is an important, very important midah, a very critical part of Alach Medrachav, a very central midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's signature is emes, Chosam HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. We don't know exactly what that means, but we do know it. That's the way he signs off. That's how he identifies himself, so to speak. In human terms, my signature is sort of an essential, should be like a statement of my identity. So MS is a very central part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's presumably a very central part of Alach Medrachav. And yet, sometimes you put MS aside in favor of some other Midah Tova. So one of the examples the Gemara has is Anava. It says someone's going around asking, how many Masechtas do you know? And it's not that they actually need to know. Not that they have a Shai that, well, I know if you're an expert in these Halachas. It's time. Someone's writing an almanac. Someone's just curious. So the Gemara says it's not inappropriate to downgrade what you actually know. I say, I learned the Arabs, I learned some of Sukkah, I learned some of Megillah. Really, the guy knows all of Moed backwards and forwards. I says, I learned Sukkah Rosh Hashanah. I know two Masechtas. Really, he knows, he really knows two Masechtas, he says he knows one. But that's appropriate because you're putting aside MS for the sake of Anava. So maybe it's going on here also. Rabdin wants to say, Machmir. He said, yeah, well, that's what I meant. Okay.
And then the Gemara who's quoting it
can be confusing. Right. Gemara is often confusing. And that's what we talked about yesterday. The Mishnah, Isaacs, and Gemara also were written to require more interpretation. And it's true for many Gemaras are written to require more interpretation. But I want to come back to your first point, and that's going to take us straight back to the Gemara, and then we'll take more questions afterwards. Which is, well, then why does the Gemara present this story? Not to teach us a Rav had a Chumrah, presumably. Maybe it is. Maybe to understand that the idea of Mechur HaDavar. Maybe also to teach me the din of, that to know that Yichud applies outdoors. And maybe also in terms of the question of Baderach, which you had raised also. What's going on with Baderach, right? The good we know that Yichud applies outdoors. Good we know either Stam and Ashram Kshir and Prutzim. But why didn't Rav, especially according to Yazaka, why didn't Rav say it's Ashram Mikra Adin, it's Baderach? Why don't Rav Yehuda? The whole Shach Vataria is and Rav Yehuda is also Shver. Right? Rabbi Yehuda said, Rebbe, but you told Shnei Nashon Kshayim is fine. Didn't Rabbi Yehuda know that? Didn't that he himself teach us the name of Rav? And Rav doesn't respond. This guy is Badarach. So what's going on? So I think there are three different approaches. On one extreme, on the other extreme, and then the way we Paskin is in the middle. On the one extreme, Marsha, I think it's the Marsha, who says in the back of the Gemara, he says, obviously, there were three people there. Neither Rav nor Rav Yehuda is raising the Baderach, but there were three people there. But the third person wasn't the stature of Rav nor Rav Yehuda. So we tell the story, we focus on the Rav Yehuda, but Rav Marsha says it must be understood that there was a third person. Okay, so there's no relevance, nothing to learn from the story with respect to Baderach, because they had three people. On the other extreme, in other words, Marsha says it was, you know, they had Shlosh Anash. On the other extreme, you have the Rif. I have not found later Svarim who point this out. I don't remember finding later Svarim who point this out. But the Rif does not quote the Din of Baderach. It's a little surprising. So, it could be, what that means, is the Rif held that we don't paskin of the Din of Baderach. Now, why would that be? Maybe he says, maybe he understood that's what this story is telling you. Rav had originally said a Din of Baderach, but apparently he changed his mind, because in this story, Rav Yehuda, neither of them is being Mesiachas a Din of Baderach. So it could be that the Rif understood. I don't remember if I saw any Rishonim who pointed this out, but it could be the Rif understood that in Echanami, the Din of Baderach is totally gone by the time the story does. Now, on one hand, the Marsha says Baderach is entirely intact. Rif seems to say, perhaps, that Baderach got dropped, that Rav changed his mind, with no longer a Chumrah of Baderach in 3. And then in the middle is the Baderach sometimes. And that's the position of Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Ben Yeruchim says, no. Take a look, and it's in the middle of the narrow lines of the Beis Shmuel. Kasa v'darkei Moshe. In the, we are on the second page of Shulchan Aruch. So Beis Shmuel Sifkat and Tess. Says Basada Shulchan Aruch quotes it. Did the Rama quotes it? Didn't Basada? You require 3. Says, you know why? Because we're worried that one of the men may, if you only have two men, one woman, one may have to take a break for 10 minutes. Kasa v'darkei Moshe shemei Yeruchim. This really is another kasha to ask, which is what does this whole ratio of stands for Ben Yeruchim? Why I don't know, but that's just the convention here in the Beis Shmuel is on the outside of the Tosfos position. Ben Yeruchim is another kasha. I don't understand how Baderach works. Why are you worried? You have two men and a woman. So you're worried that one is going to leave for 10 minutes and the other one is going to stay there with her. If these are kosher people, then they should both leave. One guy says, I have to, he's back. And he says, the other guy will leave with him also. They both walk 5 minutes off the trail. And then there's one who needs to be back. We'll walk another minute off, give himself some privacy. But why is the first one staying with her? The whole svar doesn't work. The Ben Yeruchim says, you know what? The two kashas answer each other. Kasha of why is Baderach an issue and why isn't Baderach raised here? Ben Yeruchim says that's what the Beis Shmuel quotes from the Ramah B'Shem Ben Yeruchim. Dafka k'sheyelchi ima l'shmarosa. The Chumrah Baderach is when they took responsibility for her. This woman needs to travel to another city, but she's frightened to travel alone. It's very precarious for a woman to travel alone. That's asking for trouble. So she sees, he finds that there's a group of men who are traveling also from point A to point B. He says, do you mind if I travel with you? He's like, sure, no problem. So then, in that situation, they're taking responsibility. They can't, the second man doesn't have the liberty to say, I'll leave also. Well, leave also. You took responsibility for her. So that's why, in case of Baderach, if we need to stick with her, we need to give her protection, so then you have to have three people. So that explains the svara of the Chumrah Baderach, and also explains the story of Rav. Because Rav and Yehuda, clearly, they didn't know each other. It certainly hadn't taken responsibility for her. So that's why they didn't raise the issue of Baderach, because Baderach wasn't relevant. Mishnah next time, we'll pick up, we ran out of time. There's a practical application of this that comes up far more often than Baderach. We'll talk about that, and then we'll move on to other issues in Hilchos Yichud.